Bruce Willis was dead the whole time.
There were two killers.
Luke, that's your daddy.
The robot did it.
Snape was a good guy.
He really wasn't cheating.
They was in purgatory the whole time.
What? Everybody dies.
Verbal Kent is Kaiser Sose.
They kill old Yella.
Oh my god. Everybody in this Tyler Perry movie got AIDS.
Spoiled movie reviews.
What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Rod. I'm back with another spoiled movie review. You should be getting a slate of solo movie reviews from me for all the screeners that we've been getting. They'll probably be short, and this is the first one. The spoiler movie reviews are for people who've seen the movie, don't ever plan on seeing the movie, or don't care about spoilers, because I am going to spoil this movie. It's Oppenheimer, guys. The bomb goes off. All right. So Oppenheimer is a movie that I'm going to – no screeners. No, I mean, no trailers, no comments or anything to respond to. Just straight up tell you what I like. What I didn't like, scored from 0 to 5. Directed by, of course, Christopher Nolan. Written by Christopher Nolan. Cillian Murphy stars as J. Robert Oppenheimer. Emily Blunt is in it as Kitty Oppenheimer. Matt Damon, Robert Downey Jr. Scott Grimes. Why am I drawing a blank at my other girl's name? That's the White Widow. Yeah, I mean, like, the cast, you know, they got, you know, it is a Christopher Nolan movie, which means he's gonna get an amazing cast, because he just, like, Rami Malek is in this movie for some reason, for, like, you know, just as a flex, you know, like, that's just how this fucking movie is. Casey Affleck is uncanceled and in this movie. It's just a lot of stuff like that. Gary Oldman is in this movie as Harry Truman. Like, and these are not big roles. These are just like roles that he had. Florence Pugh is who I was thinking of. She's in this movie as Jean Tatlock. So, all right, let's talk about what we like, what we didn't like, scored, blah blah blah. First thing I like, gotta say the cast. You know, everyone I just named, for reasons, you know, Robert Downey Jr. gives such an amazing performance as Louis Strauss, or as I call it, Robert Downey Jr. playing Jeremy Irons. then Cillian Murphy is obviously great, all that stuff. The writing, storytelling, always great in a Nolan movie, because he does these things where he kind of skips around. And what actually benefited me as another huge positive for the at-home audience, so I didn't see this in theaters when it came out. I saw Barbie instead, because I support women. But Oppenheimer had it was also 3 hours. And I just was like, I love Nolan, but I'm good on 3 hours. And I don't want to drive out to the IMAX theater in Charlotte to go see this. I'm good. Well, here's what I like about Christopher Nolan. He's a director that's kind of like an old school. He believes the theater is the greatest experience. He believes 4K and all that stuff is the greatest experience. So he actually made sure that I didn't just get like a DVD screener. He sends a Blu-ray to the house, and it's a Blu-ray, the kind you would purchase at a store, meaning it has like a code for like Vudu or whatever you want to, like, if you want to stream it. It has a 4K Blu-ray, a regular Blu-ray, and a DVD in it. And the visual fidelity of this movie is another positive, and it has to be seen to be appreciated. While it can be appreciated as a movie on just a plot and the story they're telling and acting performances, the visuals of this movie is the big hook. And you know Christopher Nolan, he's an insane person that he blew up a bunch of shit in the desert so he could film it and be like, this is the nuclear bomb, you know? So I think that was cool. Another thing, like, just visually, it looked amazing. Another thing, kind of, I like the somber storytelling and impact of what a nuclear weapon meant and the debates philosophically they went through with, you know, is this thing gonna set off everyone having a nuclear bomb? Is this, you know, should we even use it? You know, the war propaganda of, you know, we have to do this to Japan, it's the only way to break them. And then when he finds out later in the movie that Japan was possibly considering waving the white flag and giving up, but they bombed them anyway, and it's like, we bombed an already broken country or somebody we already were about to defeat. And I thought that was interesting, you know, especially in light of me just finishing the World War II documentary on Netflix. I watched it after this, but the point being, like, and even with like Israel and Gaza happening right now, it really makes you question. I can't, this refrain in my head that keeps going, well, who decides what's the war crimes? You know, who decides what is, what counts, you know, as the, you shouldn't be allowed to do this, you know, because it kind of seems like it goes to the victors, you know. And so it has like some deeper philosophical things that it made me think about, and those aren't things I think that are totally disconnected from the movie. I feel like it's in the script and it's in the acting and stuff. Cinematography, of course, is great. The tight close shots on Robert Downey Jr., the use of black and white to show like certain types of like historical moments versus these lived in fictionalized moments. Just as always, Nolan has a deft hand for navigating those things and using the mixes of you know, the camera and the shots and black and white and color and all this stuff to really give you the impact on the screen. And to draw you into the film. I love the complex, quote unquote, meaning, you know, kind of an asshole writing of Cillian Murphy's J. Robert Oppenheimer. I think a lot of times with these biopics, they simplify people down to like these black and white, good and bad type of figures. And the fact that this man was, you know, somewhat of a womanizer, that, you know, his arrogance and the way that he treated, not only like the fact that his wife and him, the way they like basically dropped the son off at the ex-husband's crib, like for a while, like stuff like that was really cool. Cause I mean, those are things that never really, when you're learning about this in school, that shit doesn't come up. You know, it's just, this guy invented the atomic bomb, and they had the Manhattan Project, and they, you know, blew this thing up in the middle of the desert. And then so I like those character details and stuff, which, you know, I would assume most are true. I did wiki some of the stuff. But yeah, so I thought that was cool. And I'm trying to think anything else for good. Yeah, I mean, it's just Nolan, really smart, really, really good, really well done. And yeah, go taking it all the way back to this man's history, and it gives you like a biopic, but not necessarily. I think the biggest thing for this is, it's not a type of movie where you can throw in a twist. But since it's a biopic, we kind of know what happened, so there's no real way to like force a twist in here the way Nolan typically does, where it's like, oh my God, he was this the whole time or whatever, you know. But yeah, so I thought those things were good. All right, let's get into the negatives about it. I mean, look, it is 3 hours. I don't think there's a way around it. I think it earns those 3 hours, but 3 hours is 3 hours. You know what I mean? Like, I was at home, so I was actually able to pause the movie sometimes. And honestly, I felt that it was better that I could pause it, because sometimes I would pause it and then kind of go back and watch scenes two or three times, and it helped me understand the movie more, because it is asking a lot of the audience to remember the chronological order, and things are kind of not all over the place as far as like the plot, but they're all over the place as far as the placement in the movie. So he'll be getting interviewed and asked a question, and that happens later in the film, later in the timeline, but it's happening early in the film. That kind of stuff. It's a bit of a grind too, because it is mostly a one note work. You know, there are not these moments of like comedy and levity and action. I mean, it's pretty much all just a kind of a talky movie and a solemn movie because of what you're undertaking. And I think it's supposed to be a grind on you. You know, I think you're supposed to feel like this is a very serious, painstaking thing that's taken a while, with lots of bureaucracy and politics and questions about this. And then, you know, to a certain extent, there's times where you almost feel like, who gives a fuck if he was cheating on his wife or something, because you're talking about the atomic bomb. But I think Nolan does a good job of making those moments important and filling in the rest of his character to show that he was flawed. I think, you know, one of my favorite moments is actually them talking about whether he regretted building it or not. You know, those things are important here too. So yeah, I think, you know, those are kind of the things. I'll just bring this up because I heard this on Twitter when this movie came out, but I haven't really, it doesn't seem to have followed the movie into award season because the discussion seems to be almost over. But there were people that were kind of hard on the movie, saying like, it's not giving enough of the perspective of the Japan and the destruction there. One, I mean, it's not a movie about that, you know, and I don't think they chose to make a movie about that. I don't feel like it was an oversight. I think that's a different movie. Go see Godzilla Minus One or something like that. I think that you really can only get that perspective from people that a culture that went through that and lived it. But also, they do cover it, and the movie has a lot about, you know, the impact of it, the changing of the world, the regret of it, that kind of stuff. And yet, you can't rewrite history. If these people did not truly seem to regret it, there's nothing you can do. And the flippancy of the American brass that made the decision to bomb Nagasaki and Hiroshima, that I thought that was well done. Like, I think we're in this age now where people do this all the time, where it's like how people say, I can't watch 30 Rock because it's racist. And you're like, you don't understand satire, or you purposely are misunderstanding satire, because the racist is the butt of the joke in those movies and TV shows. And I feel like in this one, the audience's sympathies are not with truly with Oppenheimer or the American brass. It's like they're about to unleash a destructive thing, you know, that is going to forever change the world. So I just wanted to address that criticism, but it didn't, you know, it didn't resonate with me. You know, I've heard also the critique that some people just found it boring and it's too long and stuff. And, you know, there's a lot of talking and stuff. And so, yeah, I could understand that as well. Maybe because I watched it at home and could pause it, I didn't feel that way or whatever. But it's a technically astounding movie. Let's go ahead and rate it 0 to 5. I would give this a 4.5. I really thought this movie was well done. I thought it was really smart. I think it's the kind of thing where I understand the people who are going to say, well, it's just boring and it's too much talking and all this shit. But I guess, how did you not expect that going in? The only reason I'm really knocking it is the 3-hour runtime is a lot. And I mean, it's obnoxiously a lot in a time where people seem to have more entertainment options in less time than ever. But I just think Christopher Nolan is the crazy director that has the power to pull this kind of shit and make the studio do what he wants them to do. And there's a reason that he does it, is because he's so good, and there's a reason they do it, is because he's so good. So yeah, I actually enjoyed it. It was like watching it was a great biopic, and also I thought the subject matter was good. So there you go, guys. Be back with another review soon. Peace.